Why is it so hard to run in the heat? Are you adjusting your paces to run in the heat this summer? If you aren't, well, you should be. You will run slower during the summer months. Some will struggle a little bit more than others, but the effort of a certain pace at 50 degrees will definitely feel very different than the same pace at 70 degrees or even 80 degrees. So what do? We want to adjust our paces according to the heat and humidity. Heat illnesses are very real and very serious, and we really want to be careful and make sure our effort levels are in check. I know as runners, a lot of us are really attached to like the data and the metrics, and it can be really hard to go from running maybe like PR paces in your workouts, like maybe you're feeling really fit in the spring and it's like great weather, 40, 50 degree days, and you're just crushing it. Then all of a sudden we kind of get into this May, June, July situation and the temperatures are really drastically changing. Even if you're used to running workouts in 40 degrees, 60 degrees, unfortunately is going to feel warm for people who just are not used to it, and it will start to impact you. At any temperature above, I believe it's about above 60 degrees, you start to actually have a 1% performance decrease. So that could be anywhere between like 5 to 10 seconds per mile, which doesn't really seem like a lot, but you add in humidity and you add in other factors and maybe even that whole confidence piece of not really knowing that you're going to be slowing down, and that can actually slow you down even more because you're going down that negative spiral. So we just wanted to have a whole podcast episode kind of dedicated to this because every time a year without fail, or every time this year without fail, people are always just really shocked at how challenging their runs all of a sudden start to feel. And there gets to be a little bit of the panic that happens in the running community when it comes to, oh no, am I losing fitness? Am I out of shape? That sort of thing. Another thing that's common this time of year, in addition to the whole heating up, is the days are longer, the sun is more intense. There's just so many other factors. And also this time of year is pretty common to have like spring allergies. So if you live somewhere where like the Midwest, it's a huge allergy season. So that could also be kind of impacting maybe how you're feeling out there and any sort of like meds you're taking for allergies. I know can sometimes maybe spike the heart rate or just have other side effects for people out there. I definitely struggle with allergies, and I notice for sure there's like a lot more phlegm and other unfortunate symptoms of allergies that happens when you're running this time of year. So Jason, do you have any advice for people who are just in that funk right now and starting to feel like, man, I am losing some fitness?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough thing to mentally stay positive about, you know, because we go through these runs where we finish them feeling like, why was that so hard? Or even like workouts, feeling like we were struggling so hard to hit our paces, or maybe running like 10, 20 seconds slower than what we were hoping for. And so I think it's just important to keep in perspective that, you know, heat training is something that every person's going to respond differently to. And your body might respond differently on a certain day to maybe higher humidity or, you know, more sun, but lower, you know, higher temperature, and all these different variables. All these variables are going to play factors in how your body feels from day to day, including sleep, hydration, and so I think, you know, the biggest thing is to just take it one run at a time, not get too wrapped up in just like a single performance. And just be open to treating your heat training sort of like a progressive overload where, you know, we have to get used to it. We have to learn how to acclimate. Mm-hmm. Our body just doesn't all of a sudden feel really good running in 75 if we're not used to it.
Right. I think making those adjustments like right off the bat before you even head out the door is definitely a good starting point for people. So just getting in the habit of checking the weather. I know maybe 2 months ago or even a month ago, maybe we didn't need to check the weather because like every day was ideal running conditions here in the Midwest, at least. It just seemed like every day was perfect. But now we're starting to deal with things like higher humidity, more sun exposure, and also like the increase in temperature. And while it may not seem like super drastic at this point, it still is going to impact your performances on workouts and maybe how you're feeling on your runs. And so before you even head out the door, check the weather. And then we've posted some graphics, or we will post some graphics this week, that show kind of the percentage that it will impact you and how many seconds per mile you should adjust by. Another really good thing you can try to do is running based more off effort. And so kind of covering up your watch, not really looking at it, and imagining how you felt during these type of workouts or running this pace back in the spring, and just running based off that same effort. So instead of trying to force XYZ pace, you're just going off of effort, and you're letting your body kind of figure out what that delta is for you and figure out what pace you need to run in these new conditions. And then after the workout, after you're done and you pause your watch and you're kind of doing some stretching or whatever, you can look at what splits was I hitting for my mile repeats or for my marathon pace workout. And you can then mentally say, okay, it was 65 degrees out, 90% humidity, and I was about 10 to 15 seconds per mile off. And you can just use that as a mental note so that, hey, okay, when it's 70 degrees, maybe I'm going to slow down even more. Or every time you head out the door now, you have like, you have just a marker for where you're supposed to kind of be at. It's going to be about 10 to 15 seconds per mile or whatever it may be. And I think at the beginning of the summer, the delta between where you were at in 40 degrees and where you're at in the 70 degree weather is very, it's larger, right? So it might be, wow, we're off by like 30 seconds a mile or even more, or that was a terrible workout. But as you get heat acclimated into the summer, that first like 2 to 6 weeks, it's challenging. But once you get heat acclimated, then it doesn't feel like it's such a stretch for every single workout. And you might find that, hey, I'm actually running just 15 seconds per mile off my paces instead of 30.
Yeah, you start to find that sweet spot once you're used to training, you know, in these conditions. And you brought up a good point about sort of making that mental note. And I think that that's so important, especially as you look ahead to plan each workout. You know, as you check the weather, just observe, like, what's the humidity going to be? What's, is it going to be full sun, or is it going to be like cloudy? Because all these factors might influence how you're going to feel. And maybe, you know, being flexible with yourself, with your schedule, your training schedule from week to week is also really, really good thing. Because if you notice, you know, it's sunny for these next 3 days, but then, oh, then it's going to be a break. It's going to be cloudy and a little bit cooler. You can always adjust maybe when to do your long run or your quality session, just so that you're getting more time to acclimate, doing easy runs in the heat, and then you're still able to execute some of your workouts in a little bit more ideal conditions. So that way, once you've, you know, gotten to the peak of summer, whatever, and it's always hot every single day, then at least you're sort of acclimated and you're ready for that.
Definitely. Your body does have to work a lot harder to keep you cool in the heat. But then when you are running those races in the cooler temperatures, hopefully in the fall, which again, we don't really have a lot of control over the temperatures on race day, but we hope, you know, if we're training for a marathon in October, November, we're hoping that the temperatures are cool. And then you're going to get like that added benefit because your body doesn't have to work as hard to keep you cool when you're running. So then you'll have a little bit of extra physical and mental energy to put towards running fast instead of, oh, I have to cool down the body and all that stuff. So there's definitely a lot of benefits there. You're getting that increased blood plasma volume. So it's similar to like altitude training when you are training in humidity. I've heard it be called poor man's altitude training. So a lot of elites will go to like Flagstaff, or I don't know, you probably are more familiar with the places they go, like Boulder, whatever, places where you're at high altitude because you're going to get benefits from that altitude training. Well, a lot of, you know, regular Joes who are just not elites or professional runners, we don't have that luxury of going to altitude and getting all these benefits, but you can get really similar benefits from training in the heat or trading in the humidity, that is. So you're going to be producing more red blood cells and more plasma. And so this is going to help with a greater cardiac output and a higher VO2 max at the same given effort.
Yeah, and so basically why it's so hard to run in the heat is your body, it's more difficult to keep everything cool, right? And so your heart rate might be slightly higher. If it's not used to the heat, you're going to be using up your electrolytes, your fluids a little bit faster, so you're more likely to get dehydrated. And so really the goal is to delay or prevent those mild heat exhaustion, you know, symptoms that you might sometimes feel at the end of your runs. So trying to keep your body temperature as cool as possible is the key. So wearing the right clothing, trying to run in the shade, having extra fluids. You know, I know I like to run through the sprinklers if people have them going in the summertime. And so it's a nice thing about running early in the morning. A lot of times you see those that are turned on. So, you know, and then same thing with the when you finish the run, trying to cool your body. You know, don't just like go right all the way into AC. You know, you kind of want to like cool down slowly, right? And so that can be a good way to apply like a cold pack or take like a cool shower, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. When you are training in those heat temperatures, like you said, there can be that risk for like heat exhaustion and those sort of symptoms, definitely keeping at bay. And I think when people are gearing up for a marathon in October, November situation, there are a lot of runners who go out and they do these 3-hour long runs or maybe even longer if they don't follow that 3-hour rule that we always talk about. You're out there for 3 hours, and if it's 70 degrees at 5 a.m., you're going to be out in those conditions. And so you really want to be aware of what those symptoms are, and also just being conscious of your body is working harder in the heat. So it is going to be really important to turn down the intensity of any of these easy long runs, especially if you're going to be out there for a long time. You're going to need to really conserve the body's energy and work at a much lower intensity and slower pace than maybe you're used to or maybe that you hope to run on race day. So that's going to be really important to keep in mind. Also, the hydration. I mean, we've done other podcasts, and we probably will in the future this summer, about staying hydrated, making sure you're kind of staying out of the sun. Try to pick a shaded route if possible, especially if you're going to be out there for a long time and the sun has come up. I know we have really long days here in Minnesota, so sunrise is like 4 a.m., right? So, I mean, you can't really avoid it in some situations, but if you're able to get out there before you have like that peak sun time, which is between like 10 a.m. and probably like 4 or 5 p.m., then you're going to at least be conserving a little bit of energy on that point.
Yeah, and two other tips to add to that would be, you know, running, a lot of times we run on pavement, and that can be hotter, right? So if you can run near grass or on grass, a lot of times that can be, just feel a little bit cooler. And then looking ahead at the wind, like check the direction, which way is the breeze going, and planning your routes accordingly. So if you know that the wind's coming from like the west, maybe you start running east. And then that when you turn around, come back, you at least can finish into the wind as your run's getting harder. And so just a way to kind of cool yourself down would be running into like a slight headwind.
Right, which is sometimes the opposite advice, right? Like sometimes people are like, I want to have a tailwind so I can be fast. But in the summer, when you are running when you're running with a tailwind, so if the wind is at your back, you're obviously like it feels better in 40 degrees and you're able to run faster when it's cool out. But if it's like really hot out, that stagnant air where you're not feeling the breeze on you, it just feels so hot. And so actually I find, you know, if it's a cross wind, so if let's say the wind is coming from, I don't know what direction you said, but if it's coming from west,
right,
I would like to pick a route that's like north to south. That way I'm getting like at least a crosswind the whole time. Because if you're just going like tailwind the whole time, it's going to feel really hot. I really like that breeze. It's kind of like a fan, nature's fan. But yeah, there's a lot of ways to make it feel a little bit better in the heat. But ultimately, the number one thing is just slowing down and adjusting expectations. And I think that can be really hard, especially as people are looking for indicators of where their fitness is at with these workouts. And it can really be tough on the confidence. We actually have a marathon here in Minnesota. It's probably going on about the weekend that we're releasing this episode, but it's called Grandma's Marathon. It's been going on for, gosh, I don't even know. Do you know how many years?
Like 40-something years now.
40-something years. I think it's the oldest one in the state. They had that marathon before Twin Cities. So it's in Duluth, Minnesota, which is pretty close to Canada, right? So it doesn't, you know, traditionally it doesn't get really hot in Minnesota, especially up in Duluth that time of year. But, you know, 10% of the time or one out of every 10 years, there's probably like a fluke day where, of course, it's the middle of June. It's like the weekend of summer solstice. So it can get hot. And one year, I think it was about 7 years ago, they had black flag conditions. So it was in the 70s, like upper 70s, and then like 90 something percent humidity at the finish line. And they had adjusted the black flags. I was just finishing, I think like I had 2 miles to go when I saw that they took down, I think it was it a red flag? No, it was maybe like an orange. I don't remember. But I saw them put this black flag up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they stopped the race. I feel like they let a lot of people finish, but it was just brutal conditions, especially for a marathon. And a lot of Minnesotans just weren't really used to those temperatures. So a lot of us just went up there hoping, oh, it's going to be good weather, but when your body is really not heat adapted, that first mm-hmm. really warm day can feel brutal. And so if your first really warm day ends up being your goal marathon, it can be disastrous. Like I know people who ran an hour slower than their anticipated goal time. And we were just talking about how Ben, he ran his coach Ben, ran his first marathon up there 7 years ago on that day. And how that's really tough because it's like you have a race you've trained for, it's your first marathon, and all of a sudden you see the weather forecast and you're like, shoot, what do I do, right? Like you can't run what you were hoping to run. So you always have options available to you, but I think the best option is to adjust what your pacing strategy is. And as tough as that is, it's going to end up serving you well. So I'm not really sure what his goal time was, but we're looking on here. He went out in a 1:15 and he finished in 2:40. So it was about like a 10-minute positive split. And I'm sure he adjusted his pacing plan for the heat. Me, on the other hand, we had pulled up mine. I went out on pace to try to run a marathon PR that day, I believe. Now let me try to pull it up. Yeah. I was like, you know what? It'll be fine, right? No, it was not fine. It was like one of the worst. I almost, you know, threw up and stuff. So there are a lot of like these heat exhaustion things. I think I ran, it was about like a 20-minute positive split. It was one of my worst paced marathons. But with that being said, if I would have maybe started a little bit more conservatively, mm-hmm. I don't think I would have had the same issues at the end. And part of the thing that is problematic when you do something like that in the heat, your body remembers things. Your body is very mm-hmm. intelligent. And so for several years thereafter, I did that where I went out really hard and then I was feeling really nauseous, getting sick, those sort of things. It was like heat exhaustion beginning symptoms, right? And so when I was doing this marathon where I ran foolishly, I was using a certain type of fuel and I was using these gels, right? So every other marathon I ran after that, I would that even if the weather was perfect, like even if it was 40 degrees, if I ate a certain gel or whatever, it would like trigger me and I would go back to like, oh, feeling nauseous. And I just couldn't even in training use certain fuels. And so it really messed up my body for probably like a year or two until I could kind of fix things out. And I think that's really a common thing because the book Duel in the Sun by who are the two? You probably know the two runners that year at Boston.
Salazar and what's his name?
I don't know.
Not Bjorklund, but Dick Beardsley.
Oh, yeah. So Dick Beardsley, who won? And
Salazar won, but it was yeah. So classic then, race. They both ran like 208 or 209 at Boston in really bad conditions. So it was
super hot and sun, full sun, right? And that's why it's called Duel in the Sun. But didn't he like never run a marathon again?
I think, yeah.
Because he like didn't want to lose. He gave it everything he had. In those conditions, right? Like he must have just been so close to like hitting heat exhaustion and his body was just never the same again. I think that's kind of the summary of the book is like he just never could perform at that level again. Because when you push your body in insane conditions like that, it can like really mess you up for a long time. So we want to just be smart about things. Just that's why I share, you know, my story about Grandma's Marathon is mainly because you don't want to make the same mistakes that I did, because it could set you back like a year or something because of something foolish like, oh, I can't even keep fuel down because my body's being like triggered back to this traumatic event where I was in like 80 degree heat. And you just want to be smart about what you're doing to your body. That being said, you know, if you do have a race and it's coming up, maybe you got like something on the 4th of July and you're just one of those people where you're going to have a hard time adjusting expectations, like maybe we just don't really race in the summer, or just using that as like a mental training opportunity where, hey, I'm not going to be running a PR. I'm not going to be running super fast, but instead maybe my goal is to run within myself, to run a smart race, and at the finish line not feel like nauseous, not feel really sick, just so focus on negative splits, feel good, that sort of thing.
Yeah, really the most important thing is just to learn through training, you know, how you should be adjusting expectations for every run, whether it's a workout, an easy run, maybe it's you know, marathon pace work or mile repeats or something even faster, like VO2 max. And so over time, you know, you start to sense like how your body responds in certain conditions under certain workout demands, right? And so you have a better idea then of how to adjust your expectations and your pacing plan heading into certain future workouts or races, especially the marathon. I think it's so important to try to keep your body temperature, you know, as cool as possible for as long as possible. Just knowing that you're going to be out there for hours, right? And that's the one event that it's like, you're not going to be able to get away with being, you know, aggressive. You're going to have to be very conservative early on if the conditions are really warm. I think back to the LA Marathon 2016 where we were there watching the trials and just how hot it was. And it was like a looped course, right? I think they came through like four or five different times. And so many elites dropped out that day just because it wasn't worth it to them to like finish with a mediocre time, right? Like the goal for them was to qualify and to, you know, train and show up and run. But you know, some athletes did push through and they didn't care about their time and they finished. And I know for us, like we stood out there in the sun all day too, watching it, and felt pretty exhausted just from being out there. And cause we weren't used to the heat. It was, what was it, February?
Yeah. And I think February. It was the sun. I mean, it was so zapping. Like there was no shade on that course for them. It was just so hot.
It was really hot. Gosh, it must've been right around 80, and it was in LA.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, we came from Minnesota winter, and so we stood out there in that all day, and then the next day we had to run the marathon, and obviously it was a little bit cooler for us, but the beginning was pretty warm. I remember, you know, the sun was out, and finally as we got to Santa Monica, it was a little bit cooler being near the water, but yeah, that was a learning experience for me too, to not go out so hard because I probably played it a little too aggressively, you know, pacing it a little hot from the get-go.
Right. Well, and it's tough to really know because for some races, like my memory of that LA Marathon, it was hot, it was warm, I guess you could say, but I don't believe there was like a ton of humidity in the air. Whereas Grandma's that year where there was Black Flag, I believe it was the humidity that really messed with people. And so humidity is basically the concentration or presence of water vapor in the air. And it's usually measured as relative humidity, so a percentage of the highest possible absolute humidity. Humans are extremely sensitive to humidity because our skin needs air to get rid of moisture, and sweating allows us to cool down, but when it's really humid, our sweat can't evaporate into the air, so it feels a lot hotter when it's very humid. And so that's really something interesting to think about. So the humidity definitely plays an important role in how we are feeling on any given run. So maybe it's a little warm, but if the humidity is down, you're maybe able to run a little bit faster. But I find that even in days like in the early spring when it's like 58 degrees, if it's humid out, I just feel awful compared to a day where maybe it's 67, but the humidity is low. I feel a lot better. And so you want to be looking at that humidity factor for sure. And I think that can be a huge contributing factor to some of the slowdowns that you might have in a workout or a race.
And, you know, no matter if it's hot or humid, whatever, really the goal is to figure out how to adjust the effort. And, you know, if you can dial that in to the appropriate effort range that you should feel for that workout. So if it's like, you know, mile repeats or something, maybe like a set, maybe like an eight, right? You don't want to feel, you don't want to finish feeling like you're completely zapped from that workout, right? So you have to adjust the pace accordingly. And that's why I'd say just sometimes I don't even look at my Garmin much during those hot days, because I don't, like, it's more of just I'm noticing what the pace is, but I'm not like thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm not like panicking when the first one is slow, right? I'm just noticing it, taking an observation, but then I'm going right back into dialing into the feeling. I'm always running off RPE, which is the rate of perceived exertion scale. So, you know, taking a look at that, making sure that, you know, I think if you train more according to that, worry less about the paces, but then later on you observe and look at your paces, then you're going to get a feel for, you know, how much to adjust based on the conditions, based on the workouts.
Right. And it's only going to get warmer this summer, right? So we're kind of at the beginning of summer and it is going to continue to get hot. You're going to continue to have to train through these conditions if you signed up for a fall race. And so I kind of like to back things up, because sometimes people are like, well, I just, like, I hate this, or I do not like running in the summer. Some people are love summer running, and some people are indifferent, and some people just, like, can't do it for whatever reason. So I think knowing what you're getting into is extremely important, right? If you're someone living in the South, it can be really brutal. And so utilizing the tools that you have available to you, like, maybe it just doesn't really make a heck of a lot of sense for you to get up and do your 2.5 hour long run when it's 99% humidity, 95 degrees at 5 a.m. if you live in like Miami or something. Maybe you're going to be utilizing a treadmill during this time. And you just really have to figure out what works for you and be safe about it, right? So when you're talking about temperatures that are in the high humidity and above 80 degrees, we really need to just start thinking about safety at that point for sure. And utilizing other tools. Maybe that means moving a long run around. Maybe that means we're gonna do part of it on the treadmill, that sort of thing. Making those adjustments can be critical for staying safe. I know here in Minnesota, we really don't have to deal with a lot of those extreme temperatures that early in the morning, but we have kind of like the opposite in winter, right? Where we've trained for Boston several times, so that's an April marathon, and so a lot of the bulk of training and those long runs really occur between January and March. And here in Minnesota, we get a lot of negative 20 degree days in January and February, and so it's just really not safe to be outside for 3 hours at a time running on ice. I mean, you could do it, but I personally feel like it's just not worth it. I mean, yeah, you can bundle up and avoid frostbite and stuff, but at the end of the day, 3 hours in those conditions is just, I don't find it safe. Other people have done it. Yes, there's this race in Minnesota called like the Arrowhead 135 mile race. It's in January. I don't understand how people do it, but it's like a different sport, right? So if you're one of those runners that's like super hardcore, like really into stuff like that, sure, go out, do your 20 miler in 100 degrees, whatever. But if you're someone that's just trying to do the training and survive the summer and you just don't really like those extreme challenges, it's definitely okay to use the treadmill, because we, for all of those reasons, when we did spring marathons, it's like we were utilizing the treadmill unless it was above probably like, I don't know, 15, 20 degrees outside for long runs, because it's just miserable, right? You don't need to make your training miserable. You want to kind of enjoy it. And we have to keep in mind, this is June. We need to make it through July, August, September. I mean, we have opportunities to get out there, but remembering that you're supposed to enjoy the training. And so utilize whatever tools, figure out what works really well for you, and don't feel like guilty about adjusting paces or about running on the treadmill or whatever it may be.
Yeah, really well said. And just remember to be patient. You know, it sometimes it could take years to feel more comfortable running the heat or multiple training cycles. But hopefully as the summer goes on, it feels a little bit easier. And, you know, just because you maybe are running a bit slower, it doesn't mean you're losing fitness. It's really just about your body adjusting. And hopefully you put in the work that, you know, you put in the work all summer in the heat, and then as the temperature will change, your body will start to recognize that, and it'll pay off for you, and you'll be able to run faster and feel better. So, yeah, like you said, just adjusting the paces. Don't be too hard on yourself with how much to adjust. Just kind of get a sense in those first few workouts, and then use that as sort of a measurement for you, for yourself.
And I think it's always a good opportunity to use this as a learning experience too. So let's say you're signed up for Chicago, and you're training in the summer and you just hate it. Like, you just realize, man, like, my kids are home. I don't really have a lot of time. I don't really enjoy waking up at 5 a.m. It's really hot out. I don't like this. And maybe you're confused because you've done marathon training in the past and you didn't really feel that way. So maybe it's not the marathon training. Maybe it's the time of year. And so I always like people to reflect on, like, is this a good time of year for me? And we did some podcasts in the beginning of the year where we wanted people to kind of reflect on, what is the best season for you to really have one of your peak training cycles? For some people, that is the summer. I know when you used to teach and be right. an admin in the schools, that for you, you were like, I am going to train for something big and use my summer months because I have more time. And that worked really well. But the reverse can also be true. Like, maybe if you have kids that are at home and you're working full time and it's just really difficult in the summer because there's no school, that sort of thing. Maybe you realize, hey, I'm actually more of like a spring marathon person. I don't really like running in the heat. And these are all things that we learn about ourselves along our journey. For other people who are training for, let's say you want to run a fall marathon, but you don't want to be training in the peak of the summer and you're really worried about race day weather too, because that can also be a factor with like Chicago, even New York, it can be warm. Like last year it was hot at New York. It was kind of hot at Indy. I always thought Indy, I have said on this podcast before, like, oh, Indy's always great weather. And okay, like, yeah, 60s and rain. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but that's pretty bad. Like, and there's always pretty bad headwinds there too. But I think there are ways that you can really try to find marathons that are going to be cold, if that's your thing. Like the Madison Marathon, it's never going to be hot at that race. You can like almost direct quote, someone can quote me, come back, right? Because it's, I think it's the weekend of like November 13th it was last year, and it's in Madison, Wisconsin. It's for people who are from that area, you know, it's never warm.
Yeah,
November
13th. We have regions cross country every year that it weekend, like, and it was always like in the 20s or 30s. Like, it was just one of the coldest weekends.
Which, again, then it's like you have that you have issue as well. That. So if you're someone who hates running in the cold, well, then maybe we shouldn't be doing, you know, like one of these really late fall in the northern part of the state, or like a dopey challenge, right? So that's a really popular race, is the Disney Marathon in January. And we've done that before. And I really did not enjoy training for that because I feel like peak training was after, from Halloween until Christmas. Yeah. And then I was like, wow, that's really tough because the holidays, the weather here is really iffy. It was just not an easy time of year to train for. So before I sign up for any race, I don't really think about like, oh, what race do I want to do? I'm more thinking like, okay, when am I going to have to train for this? Like, what is it going to look like in my personal life with the weather, that sort of thing? Because the joy is really found like in the process of training, and you don't want to be signing yourself up for something where it's just going to make you feel miserable. I guess that's one of my rules. Everyone's a little bit different, but I think that's a good rule of thumb to kind of go by, is figuring out what really gets you going, what's really exciting for you, what your favorite season to run is, and then training accordingly and finding races that are within those time constraints. And one of my favorite websites for finding marathons that I absolutely love and I recommend would be findmymarathon.com. And you can do like advanced searches. You can search by location, state, keyword. But my favorite feature that it has is the calendar feature. And you can just really go down the list. Let's say you want to run a marathon in, I don't know, December. It's going to pull up every single marathon in the US, at least, probably a few international, but it'll say like every single marathon, what the course looks like. Is it flat, hilly, rolling hills, how many finishers? And then it has this like PR score. So the PR score for a lot of these is going to look at various factors such as what's the average temperature and weather look like on any given day. For the last couple of years at this race, they actually look at like historic weather. And then the other thing they're looking at is the elevation chart. So how much like gain and loss there is. And I do find that a lot of these are pretty accurate. I love looking at the PR score, and I personally like wouldn't do a marathon unless it said like 99% or higher. For some of the races, like the California International Marathon, it actually is going to have a PR score of like 100.38. And the reason being is because that weather is ideal.
45 degrees.
Yeah, exactly. And it has that downhill. So if it's a downhill marathon, so it's a net downhill. So they're I've done the marathon. It's hilly, but it's the net down that actually boosts up that PR score. So even if the PR score is like 99, you're going to still want to look at like, what does this elevation map really look like here, so that you can get an idea for what you're signing up for. And then I think it would be interesting to see what some of these Revel races are, because I've definitely done my share of Revel races, and I'm sure it's like 100 or something. Trying to find it on here.
Yeah, and there's some other races I know, California, Utah, Washington, that are, they are like a slight downhill. They're not as extreme as like starting way up in the mountains, you know, right, coming down, but a lot of those are, you know, going to be good weather because you're starting so high up. And true, so it's pretty cold up there. So,
well, also a factor to think about. So Revel Big Bear, for example, you know, starting temperature was 28 last year because you're sitting at 7,000 altitude up in the sky, right? It's pretty high up. You're going to have the effects of altitude when you start a race at that high up. But as you come down, the altitude effects kind of go away because you're dropping so quickly. And then obviously like the downhill factor, it makes it easier to run fast. But I'm looking on here right now and it says Revel Big Bear has a PR score of 106. So, wow. I mean, definitely fast. I really like this website for looking at races. I think more often than not in the running community, it's just, ooh, I want to do the majors, which is totally cool. That's an awesome goal. But if your goal is really to like PR and like run your fastest times, right, which I know that's not everyone's goal, but we're running for PR, so I'm just trying to help people out if they're trying to run their fastest times, I would look at PR score on here. And then I'd also look at, okay, like when's the best time for me to train and run these races?
Right.
I really thought, you know, Revel Big Bear, I'm not affiliated with them, but I thought it was like a really good time of year because you don't have to train. I mean, you do have to train a little bit in the summer, but not like the whole summer. I think Chicago is tough because your entire training cycle is the summer.
Right.
And I feel like 40% of the time, Chicago Marathon has bad weather. That's just what I've noticed. I don't know. It could, can change. And even like Twin Cities last year, it wasn't great weather. Like it wasn't terrible, but I mean, 55 degrees and humid. I think by the end of the race, it was almost 60, 70.
Yeah.
Depending on what time you finished at. I mean, it wasn't great. So whenever you're doing an early October marathon, even if you're somewhere up north, like Minneapolis or Chicago, you're running the risk of potentially having that warm weather. So if you're someone that really wants to avoid that, I'd look into maybe like more of a November situation for marathons and see what happens.
Yeah, I clicked on like Tucson Marathon because I wasn't familiar with that one, but yeah, it's December 10th and
part of it's downhill.
It's a really good downhill one.
But there's an
PR
uphill.
Score was 101 something. 101. So,
but if you look at that map, the elevation map, there is like an uphill segment.
Yeah, there's 400 feet of gain, almost 500 feet total throughout the race. So
it's not terrible.
Yeah, you know, every race has its, yeah, you know, downfalls that you might have to deal with. But
well, and that's the thing, is every race has its downfall. So it's like we could sit here and talk about like, oh, all these races, but it's like at the end of the day, there's no perfect race. So you really have to just figure out kind of what you're going for and just commit almost. So if you're signed up for Chicago, whatever, it's like you're already committed. Let's just make it through the training. And that's why we give some of these tips, because we know so many people are signed up for these fall marathons already. You're committed. Just do it. Just get it done.
Yeah.
But training, you are going to want to make some adjustments to your pacing for sure. And there are some calculators out there that can tell you, oh, you know, exactly adjust by 10, 15 seconds per mile. Or if you go to VDOT, Jack Daniel's Run Smart calculator, you can check a box called, what does it say? It's like advanced features at the bottom and say what the temperature is. And then it'll tell you a, like an actual pace adjustment. And I think in the summer I used that and it was telling me, oh yeah, just adjust by like 8 seconds per mile. And I just felt like, you know what? That's so, it's so specific. And I really like the VDOT calculator, but I think when it comes to giving something so specific like that, I think it's too broad of a population that you're giving such a specific answer to. Like for some people who are, you know, maybe really used to running in the heat, sure, maybe it's exactly 8 seconds. But like if you're brand new to like going out in the heat, or you just don't perform well in the heat, like maybe you're on that bell curve, right? We talked about average, you're in the middle of the bell curve. But if you're someone who's like really bad at running in the heat, like naturally your body just doesn't do well in the heat, it's going to be a lot more than 8 seconds per mile. And so you don't want to feel bad about, oh, I'm not hitting right in there. I like to go more off like ranges and effort, because you want to really be setting yourself up for success, mainly because if you go out there, try to hit a workout by adjusting by exactly 8 seconds per mile and you don't hit it, that is going to destroy your confidence if you do that like week after week. And you want to be feeling good. You want to feel confident, and that builds consistency, which builds stronger runners. And so whatever you can do to stay consistent is really what we're aiming for. There are going to be some weeks where, yes, it's just miserable out there, but it's better to just go out there, give effort, do something, do some variation of the workout, than it would be to just be like, you know what, I'm not doing it because it's too hot, or because I just know I won't hit my paces and I'm embarrassed to like put it on Strava or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really well said. That's really what we're after, right? It's building that consistency, making you stronger. And, you know, ideally, the fitter you become over time, hopefully the heat will impact you a bit less, right? Because you're more experienced with certain conditions. Your body's going to be more acclimated. It's gone through seasons like that. One other thing I didn't mention earlier was the sauna, and how you could utilize a sauna, especially if you're coming out of a winter, to sort of prepare yourself for heat acclimation. So if you have access to a fitness center, wherever that has a sauna, just starting out, you know, 3 to 4 days a week, just going in, and then you can increase the minutes over time too, how long you're in there. There's a lot of research out there about how that can help you become more acclimated. So
absolutely, it can be a game changer. And if you're someone that is into yoga, right, like heated yoga is basically sauna levels, and that can help, I think, with heat acclimation as well. Utilizing those in the months where, hey, maybe like leading up to hot weather, but it's already kind of hot out, so maybe not right now, but for future, right? It's really a good tool to have in your toolbox for future. And I know this can be just a tough time of year in general, because it's like, man, what sort of workouts do I do, right? Like leading up to Chicago, or you're just in the process of maybe figuring out your training plan for these fall races, and it can start to feel like you just don't know what workouts to do, or you're just going out there and doing kind of the same old, but the biggest thing that can help with a breakthrough, like, can be having workouts that are specific to you and getting uncomfortable. If you continue to do the same thing year after year and you're not seeing changes, it's because your body doesn't have enough stress stimuli to make those adaptations. So it's really important to make sure you're stressing your body on a micro level so that you can continue to have those adaptations. And I think a lot of runners initially are great at getting outside of their comfort zone, but I think a lot of people, they start getting stagnant because they're doing a lot of comfort zone running. A lot of people are just hanging out in that gray zone, and they think, oh, maybe I'm at a plateau with my running, but really, there is that next level that you can achieve if you start getting uncomfortable again. And sometimes that means doing workouts that you really haven't been doing. And a lot of that would be involved with looking at what have you been doing in the last year where you think you haven't been making progress. And as a coach, we look back at your history. We want to see what have you been doing, because there's always a reason why you're not improving, right? There's a reason behind it, and we're willing to like dig deep and see what it is, then come up with a plan for the future to be like, hey, you know, this is what you've been doing in the last year or two, and you've not really hit the goal that you wanted to or whatever it may be. This is what we're projecting for next year. Can you see how we could have these benchmarks along the way? And this is the stress stimuli that we would be creating and allowing you to reach that next level. And that really excites a lot of people, because oftentimes we're on our own with our training and we're sitting there trying to figure it out on our own. We're looking at other people's training on Strava and all that stuff. But sometimes having that outside perspective can be a real game changer with our training. And as we're heading into this whole training cycle block of fall races, I think it can be really valuable to have someone on the outside looking at your history and building workouts specific to your goals and what you've been doing in the past. So if you are interested in getting a free 7-day trial, working with a coach, having these deep conversations about your training and your future, we would love to get you set up with a free 7-day trial, working with a coach, having a phone consultation, and doing everything specific to you. You can fill out the form at www.runforprs.com to take advantage of that. Again, that's www.runforprs.com to get that free 7-day trial working with a coach. Thanks for tuning in.